Hi, podcasters. I'm Dr. Mary Larajani.
And I'm Dr. Rena Lau.
And welcome back to Skin the Surface. Our podcast community is growing, and we're so excited to announce that we're now international in more than 10 countries. So just a reminder to any of our new listeners out there, we're two dermatologists and friends who train together and work together in the Philadelphia suburbs. Each week, we will briefly review a hot topic related to the skin, and this podcast is intended to serve as an educational resource for members of our now international community. And our hope is that we encourage you to take a more active role in your skin health. We do not provide any personal medical advice, so if you feel like any of these issues we discuss apply to you, and we hope that many of them do, we recommend that you consult with your board-certified dermatologist for more information. So let's get started on today's topic, and that's sunscreen.
So besides sunscreen being our favorite product for your skin, we want to discuss sunscreen further because as you all probably heard on the news, recent reports have shown that several of the most common sunscreen ingredients are actually absorbed into our bloodstream at higher levels than the FDA previously thought. And for those who are not aware, the FDA is in charge of regulating, ensuring the safety of all sunscreen products. Although we do not know the implications of these increased levels of sunscreen in the bloodstream as of yet, it has, of course, caused many people to become concerned over which sunscreens are safe to use or whether they should be using sunscreen at all. To sunscreen or not to sunscreen, that is a question that all my patients, friends, and family are asking.
Well, to get to the bottom of this, let's talk a little bit about the recent reports and what they're really saying. So the first study was published in May 2019, and they looked at 24 healthy participants who applied four of the most common sunscreen ingredients to their skin four times a day for 4 days. And over this period of time, they measured the levels of sunscreen in the blood. The ingredients they were looking at were all chemical sunscreens, and we'll get into later what that means, but they were avobenzone, oxybenzone, octocrylene, and ecamsul. Those are tough to say. It was previously thought that the levels of absorption of sunscreens were so low that no additional safety studies were needed. Well, it turns out that based on this study's findings, even after 1 day of application of these sunscreen ingredients, levels exceeded the threshold established by the FDA. Another study performed in January 2020 looked at a larger group of 48 participants, and this time they looked into 6 sunscreen ingredients. Again, they were all chemical sunscreens. And these ingredients were avobenzone, oxybenzone, octocrylene, just like last time, but this time homosalate, octosalate, and octinoxate. Again, really tough to say. So this time, they only had participants apply the sunscreen once on that first day, but then 4 times a day for the remaining 3 days. Similar to the first study, they found that the blood concentrations of the sunscreen ingredients were greater than the threshold established by the FDA for safety, but this time they found that these sunscreen levels were present even after 1 day of a single application.
So you may be asking yourself, what does this even all mean? And what are these FDA thresholds? Well, they basically serve as a cutoff where any level higher than this threshold would require that a sunscreen manufacturer provide further safety studies to determine whether or not there is any harm with this product, such as increased risk of cancer or any birth defects. So at this time, there are no studies that document this increased risk, so it really remains unknown. And we will need new studies to determine if there are any risks associated with the use of these sunscreen ingredients. But what do we know? According to the American Academy of Dermatology, 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime, and that's a lot. Intermittent sun exposure in childhood and during a lifetime is associated with an increased risk of skin cancer. And so even one blistering sunburn during your childhood or adolescence can nearly double a person's chance of developing a melanoma. Sunscreen use can help prevent skin cancer by protecting you from the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays. And so it is a recommendation of the study authors, the FDA, and the AAD, and of course, let's not forget Dr. Mary and I, that you continue to use sunscreen and sun protective methods as more of this information is unfolding. So Mary, you mentioned before about chemical sunscreens. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, so sunscreens are available in 2 broad categories: physical sunscreens and chemical sunscreens. So what's the difference? Well, chemical sunscreens contain organic compounds like the ones I mentioned before that are really tough to say, like oxybenzone and avobenzone, and these absorb UV rays as they attempt to enter the skin. whereas physical sunscreens contain active mineral ingredients such as titanium dioxide or zinc oxide, and these ingredients sit on top of the skin rather than being absorbed, and therefore they just deflect the UV rays before they even enter the skin. And so because chemical sunscreens are absorbing UV rays from within the skin, they usually require about 20 minutes after application before they start to work. So if you put these on as soon as you arrive at the beach, your skin is not protected for 20 minutes. And this is unlike physical sunscreen blockers, which physically block the UV rays, therefore they work as soon as you put them on your skin. Chemical sunscreens are a little more likely to irritate the skin. They can cause some stinging and burning or even clog the pores. So physical sunscreens, on the other hand, are less likely to do this. And therefore, they are usually our go-to for patients who have acne-prone skin or have very sensitive skin. Physical sunscreen blockers do last longer when in direct UV light compared to chemical sunscreens, but because physical sunscreens just sit right on the surface of the skin, they can rub, sweat, or rinse off really easily compared to the chemical sunscreen. So that's another thing to think about.
Great, Mary. So with so many sunscreen brands out there, I often get asked by my patients and friends is what should they look out for? Where do they even start? Well, the first step is to look at the label and make sure your sunscreen says broad spectrum, meaning it protects you against both UVA and UVB rays. Next, consider the sun protection factor, otherwise known as the SPF. So this basically measures how much UV light a sunscreen can filter out. We recommend using an SPF of at least 30, which blocks 97% of UV rays. So speaking of UV rays, there are two important types that you should be aware of, UVA and UVB, which I know we mentioned earlier. UVA rays are the ones that are responsible for wrinkles and age spots and skin aging. And UVB rays are responsible for sunburns. But both UVA and UVB rays can lead to skin cancer. The next important step is to really consider your skin type. So I often ask my patients about their skin. So do they have dry or oily skin when guiding them on what sunscreen to purchase? A few pearls. So if you have acne or oily skin, make sure that the label says non-comedogenic, meaning it has been shown to not block pores. If you have dry skin, you may want to look for a moisturizer with a sunscreen or a sunscreen that contains ingredients that will hydrate your skin. And these ingredients are hyaluronic acid or ceramides.
And to add to that, there are so many different sunscreen formulations out there, including sprays, creams, lotions, gels, and even sunscreen sticks. It's all your personal preference and what works best for you. But remember, the best sunscreen is going to be the one that you're actually going to use every day and use the right amount of. So if you're at the beach or the pool, you should apply about one shot glass amount of sunscreen to the entire exposed areas of skin. And if you're applying sunscreen to just the face, like for everyday use, I usually recommend about a nickel-sized amount of sunscreen. For those of you who love sunscreen sprays, make sure you spray it directly on your hands when you're applying it on the face and avoid spraying it in windy locations to make sure that it actually gets on your skin. It's really going to be of no use when it's on your lawn chair. And don't forget that one application of sunscreen will not last you the whole day. Reapplication is essential, and you really want to do that every 2 hours or maybe even more frequently if you've been swimming or had a vigorous workout. And finally, just like everything else you apply to the skin, check the expiration date. So many people keep using their sunscreens for multiple seasons and don't realize that it's actually expired, and an expired sunscreen is not going to protect your skin as effectively.
I couldn't agree more, Mary. I sometimes am guilty of hoarding sunscreens myself. Speaking of sunscreens, I tend to have more sensitive skin and prefer mineral-based sunscreens. So here are a few of my favorites for you listeners out there. Alta MD UV Clear and UV Elements. It's very light, not overly greasy, very easy to apply on the face. La Roche-Posay Anthelios and Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Dry Touch.
Yeah, I also tend to prefer a mineral-based sunscreen. And so a quick and easy way to know that your sunscreen is mineral-based, besides looking for the ingredients, which again are the zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, is to look for a baby sunscreen. So for infants less than 6 months of age, a fragrance-free and mineral sunscreen is recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So some products that are purely mineral and safe for babies, but also adults, are Neutrogena Pure and Free Baby SPF, Blue Lizard is another great brand, Aveeno Baby Continuous Protection Mineral Sunscreen, or Baby Gannix Mineral Sunscreen. And also for environmentally conscious consumers, you might want to choose a mineral-based sunscreen for another reason. So there's been increasing reports showing that chemical sunscreens can damage the coral reef by bleaching the reef and increasing the risk of viral infections in the reef. Coral reef is a biologically productive and diverse ecosystem and a huge contributor to marine biodiversity. And although I would still advocate that any sunscreen is better than no sunscreen at all from a skin health perspective, it's important to consider how our actions can impact the world around us. In addition to sunscreen, there's so many other ways we can protect our skin that are easy and effective. Rena, can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah. So when the sun's rays are strongest, typically around 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it is important to seek shade. So a helpful tip that I go by is when your shadow is shorter than you are, it's important to seek shade. Wearing protective clothing is super important. And I'm not just mentioning this because I really do love shopping for big, wide brimmed hats. But there are a lot of companies out there that make certain UV protective clothing. One brand that I really like is Amber Noon. And for our Philly locals, this is a company that's actually based in the Philadelphia suburbs. And for our skiers, snowboarders, surfers out there, be extra careful when you're near sand, snow, or water. Because remember, the sunlight reflects on these surfaces and it reflects directly on your skin, increases your chance of a sunburn. And one more thing I wanted to touch on, a lot of my patients come in concerned about vitamin D absorption, and they're doing such a good job with the sun protection. Are they really getting enough vitamin D? And so yes, using sunscreen can decrease your vitamin D absorption. But you can get vitamin D supplementation from your food and certain vitamins as well. But if you are vitamin D deficient, it's important to speak to your dermatologist to discuss ways in which you can increase your vitamin D level. Well, that's all that we have for today's episode. We hope this episode helped to answer all of your burning sunscreen questions, no pun intended. Tune in next week as we dive into the dangers of a skincare practice that has reached epidemic levels worldwide and why it has become increasingly popular in various cultural practices.